When I was here earlier in the week, this past week, Brother John Schultheis was going through Psalm 107 in the morning worships. And I don't know how far he got. Did he get through the whole chapter? The last verse says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." The loving kindness of the Lord. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things. So that chapter has things in it that we're supposed to pay attention to. Heed these things. And when I was here, we took one of the stanzas, and it was a real blessing to me. But whoso is wise, let him consider these things. And as we do, we are taking note of the loving kindness of the Lord. Something God wants us to understand. The loving kindness of the Lord. We read in Psalm 103 that the Lord crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. One of the benefits that we're not supposed to forget. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I've been thinking about the kindness of the Lord again and again for quite a long time now. It just comes back to me, the loving kindness of the Lord. Just call your attention just briefly. You don't have to open to it. We'll open to another passage if you like. But here in Isaiah 63, the prophet speaks about the loving kindness of the Lord. And he puts an ES on the end. I guess the loving kindness of the Lord results in acts of loving kindness, and they are multiplied acts of loving kindness, and so the prophet calls them loving kindnesses. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, "Surely they are my people, children that will not lie." So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. And the Lord chastened them and punished them, and yet continued to lead them and love them and show them his kindness. Even as he chastised them, he worked in their behalf. He loves his people, and he is kind. The Lord is kind. And you said it before that he calls us to be kind. And I've been challenged by that. It seems like rather... You know, everybody thinks they're kind. What's kind is like a slender virtue. What do they call that? Like a nothing burger. You know, you're kind to animals. You're kind when you cross an old lady. When you take her, you see she's having trouble across the street, so on. So that's kind. That's kind. But God says, be kind. And he is kind. And his kindness has something to do with our salvation. So that's something very big and very strong. The loving kindness of the Lord. He says, I want you to understand it. I want you to appreciate it. And I want you to be kind, Paul said. It says there at the end of Ephesians 4, kind and tender-hearted, you mentioned, forgiving one another as... as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So you're to have the kindness of the Lord in your heart, and you don't have that naturally. We're not automatically kind. We might think we're kind, and we might be kind to a certain degree, but we don't have that divine love, that kindness, unless we receive it. Blessed Holy Spirit, take control of me. May I yield my body, soul, and mind to thee. Understanding of thy will to me impart. May the love of Jesus reign within my heart. That's what he wants. He wants to make us kind as he is kind, forgiving as he is forgiving, loving. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. I just can't stop thinking about this, so I tell you, maybe it'll get it out of my mind. There's a dear lady in our church, everybody I know thinks of her, I'm sure, as one of their favorite people. Over the years, she's endeared herself to everyone. Her name is Elsie Keller, and now she's grown old, and she's rather stooped. She walks with assistance, and once in a while, she gives me some money. And I tease her. It's not a lot of money. I say, oh, well, thank you. I say, thank you. You really keep me going. Thank you, Sister Elsie. You know. But this was what happened to her. She said to my wife, she said to Susan the other day, boy, I really must look pathetic. I must look so pathetic, which was so funny to me. She said she kind of does look pathetic sometimes, but that wouldn't be the right word because we know her and she just shines with the love of Jesus. But when she's stooped over, you know, so she happened to be by the post office and waiting in the doorway. I don't know if it was drizzling or what. She was waiting in the doorway there, you know, she stooped over, and she said some man came over to her and he gave her a few dollars. She said, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. She said to her, Susan, I must really look pathetic. And then I said to her the next time I saw her, if you look pathetic, you give me money. So what does that say about me? But she's a dear lady, and she's a kind lady. She really is. The kindness of the Lord just flows through her. But so I, as I said, I've been thinking about this kindness. It's not something small. It's something big. It's something great. It's something commanded. It's something shown to us, though. The Lord has shown it to us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Or in the King James Version, love suffers long and is kind. That's right there at the beginning of the list. As love is personified, those are really verbs there in the original. So what's probably a bit more accurate is love shows kindness. Love shows kindness. And when you read that list in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, and the beginning of 8, I believe, you see that it's a portrait of love. And if you put the name of Jesus there, it just fits perfectly. Perfectly. Jesus is patient, and Jesus is kind, and Jesus is humble, and Jesus is not self-seeking, and Jesus doesn't keep a record of wrongs, and so on, and Jesus never fails. And there are other things there, but Jesus is kind. Put your own name in there in 1 Corinthians 13. At least when I do this, I see my shortcomings, but I know that there's a standard. And I know that God wants to help us to be more and more like Jesus, living up to that standard. And as I said, we don't have it in ourselves, but he wants to give us his Spirit. He wants to change us. The Lord can make us to be kind. Now, I don't know if that's a goal or a great a great burning desire that anyone has. I guess we might think of other virtues before that one. I really want to be kind. I don't know that I ever thought of that until more recently. And I do now. I do, as I've been meditating in this and thinking about the loving kindness and the loving kindnesses of the Lord in his love and in his pity. He redeemed his people and he bore his people, carried them all the days. Well, I just think of his loving kindness and tender mercies. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. And then I say, Lord, help me to be kind. If love is kind, Paul wrote that to the Corinthians, and the purpose of that was to show them that they weren't living up to the standard. If you read the epistle, you see that there were these forces at work. There were jealousies and envies, and there was criticizing, and there was lack of kindness, and there was division in the Corinthian church among the believers there. And so Paul was showing them that though they were gifted, though they were a church that was active for the Lord, they needed more of the love of Christ. They needed to realize that without that they were nothing. That, I read it last time I was here, a little paper was in the Bible that I happened to have with me. Jonathan Edwards said, whatever else is done or suffered, whatever else is done or suffered, if the heart is not given to God, it amounts to nothing. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. We want to love Jesus. We want to give our hearts to God. And we want to obey his commands. And we want to fulfill in his will. And we want to be like Jesus. This is his purpose over his people. This is important. It says in Romans 8 that the Lord chose, he predestinated people to be conformed to the image of his Son. That was his purpose over them. And when it says, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose, it refers back to that purpose. Those who are becoming more and more like Jesus, those who are true believers in Christ, and those who are being sanctified and pressing toward the mark, toward the goal. They really mean it. And if we really mean it, we're going to want to be kind. And all these other things that we're called to. Love is kind. So I recently came across a book, and Sister Elsie, had I come across it and read it, Sister Elsie called me a few months before camp and said, do you have a book that you would like to recommend for the Boathouse? And I just didn't come across this one soon enough, Sister Elsie, but it's been a great blessing to me. And it's about 1 Corinthians 13, and it's called Loving the Way Jesus Loves. And it goes through the different verses of 1 Corinthians 13, and there you can find first an explanation of the context and the words, and then always an example from the life and ministry of Jesus. For instance, under kindness, how Jesus was kind. Wow, you wonder, what did they choose for that? He's kind in so many places. He's showing compassion on people. He looks at them and his heart goes out to them, whatever their need. He sees them. He sees the multitude. He says, those people are like sheep without a shepherd. They need teaching. They need help. They need comfort. And he goes and he teaches them all day, and he feeds them when they're hungry, and he blesses them. That's how Jesus is. That's how Jesus was when he was here on earth and how he is today. We ought not to think that today in the highest heaven, at his Father's right hand, that his heart has changed in the least. No, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he who had compassion on the multitudes and healed their sick and taught them and preached and ministered to meet their needs. His heart is the same, and he's everlastingly kind. Love is kind. Jesus is kind. Well, the passage of scripture that was chosen in that book, I'd just like to look at that for a few minutes tonight, is Titus 3. The beginning of that chapter, Titus 3. Now, Titus is a short book. It just has three chapters. I hope you can find it easily. It says, let's get some chapters that are around that. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Okay, now, you could have done that with the first page, right? But there it is, and I think many of you know that by heart. But look at this. It says here, we ourselves. I want you to teach the people. Paul had left Titus in Crete, and he had given Titus a hard assignment, as we read in the earlier part of this letter. But now he's to tell the people to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So maybe I should warn you, if you're traveling in these days, there were so many troopers out. I just cannot believe the report that they are constantly telling us that there's no such thing as a quota system. Because at the end of the month, they're all over. There were so many of them out. Thankfully, they were all busy when I passed them. But it says here the people ought to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, to show true humility toward all men. Then it speaks about us. That's you, Titus, and me, Paul. We, or you, Titus, and me, Paul. That's us, right? But now it's we, so it's Titus and I. And all of us who are saved, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Remember when Brother John Munsinger had us learn this section in Sunday school by heart? It's a wonderful testimony. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I guess if you were having to parse this sentence, it's quite a long sentence here. Starting with verse 4, you would see that you go from, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, he saved us. He saved us. And not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. What a beautiful choice, I thought, when I read that in that chapter about being kind. The kindness, I thought, could have chosen this story or that story or the other story, but Jesus came down, leaving heaven's glory to be our Savior. He saw our need, and he wanted to lift us out of our sin and death and bring us to God and into fellowship, give us eternal life. And so he came down, and it says that was his kindness. The kindness and love of God our Savior was manifested in this, that he saved us. So we have this loving humility, this kindness of the Lord. But we see in this passage some, shall I say, aspects of them this kindness is, or features of this kindness of God. This kindness is a saving kindness. He saved us according to the kindness and love of God our Savior. Your loving kindness, we sing, is better than life. David said that. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I have come to know you, and it's because of your loving kindness. I will praise you for your loving kindness and your truth. Oh Lord, I will lift up my hands to you, thanking and praising you because you are kind and your kindness has reached to me. I thank you, Lord. Your loving kindness is better than life. You have given me life out of death. You have brought me out of darkness into light. You have saved me. This is a saving love, divine love. And then we see it's a merciful love, love shown to people who don't deserve it. When we say that God is kind, that saving love, what we're saying is, that's why I say this is such a big thing. He has saved us from an eternity apart from God, an eternity in hell, banished from his presence because of our sin. He has saved us. Our God and Savior appeared, his love and his kindness, and he saved us. And he showed mercy to people who did not deserve it. Anybody who's really saved here tonight who would say, I deserve to be saved. I deserve the blessing that came to me. Of course not. Because you realized, in order to be saved, you realized what a sinner you were and how much you needed the salvation of the Savior, that he had come to lift you out of all of your need, to bring you to himself, and you couldn't save yourself. This was a love shown to people who didn't deserve to be loved. But he loved us, not because of these works that we did, nothing that we could do to merit salvation. He saved us because he is merciful. This is a merciful kindness. And if we go back to what Sister Hofflander said, think of the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. His merciful kindness is great toward us. We cannot earn our way. We cannot qualify for salvation or for heaven on the basis of our own goodness or righteousness, for we have none. But according to his mercy, he saved us. He didn't save us because we're lovable. I look around and I think everybody here is quite lovable. But that's not why he saved us. He saved us because he is love. God is love. And he exhibited that love and kindness to us in our salvation. And then this kindness here in this passage, you see that it's a life-changing love, too. It says here, it speaks about the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in this salvation to change a life, to change us, to make us new. Our desires are different. Our sins are gone, and we want to worship God, and we want to love Jesus and live for him and serve the Lord. Regeneration is that inward work of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, works to bring life to someone who's dead in trespasses and sins. You and I were all lifeless sinners. Yes, we were breathing. We were alive in the sense that everyone is alive in this world for a time, but we didn't have divine life. We didn't have eternal life. And regeneration is that work of God, the Holy Spirit, that brings us from death to life. And then we have the renewal of the Holy Spirit. We're cleansed and we're renewed by the Holy Spirit. He makes us a new person. But this renewal, I believe, speaks of the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. That means that this kindness didn't stop when you were first saved, but it goes on in this saving work. Jesus is saving me now. He's saving me from the power of sin. You've often heard it said that he saved me from the penalty of sin. He is saving me from the power of sin. He will yet save me from the very presence of sin. Those three P's, I'm sure you've heard that. It's an easy way to understand that the salvation is an ongoing experience and a wonderful, gracious work of God that continues in our lives. And just now we are being renewed. Yes, there's this work of sanctification going on. We are called to be holy as He is holy. And it doesn't happen because we decide we're going to be holy people, but it happens because we let Jesus in. And the Holy Spirit works to make us like Jesus and to separate us unto God, to the service of God. It's a wonderful thing. He calls us to come out and to be separated unto Him. And we can't do that either. We're so bound to the things of this earth, and we're drawn by those things. But God works by His mighty power to save us, to deliver us from the power, the hold that those things have over us. So this is a life-changing kindness, and what a generous kindness also. See this? Which He shed on us abundantly. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Poured out the Holy Spirit. He came to us. Jesus poured out His Spirit on us richly, it says in the ESV. Such a wonderful thing. God doesn't stint. He's not stingy. He doesn't hold back. He loves His own. He gives us what we need so that His work can be accomplished in us. He poured out His Spirit richly upon us. When God gives us a gift, God is so gracious. It comes in floods. It's not a little trickle. I think that was at home. My father took us once on a hike. I think it was in the White Mountains to Arethusa Falls. And it was supposed to be a high waterfall. And we went there and expected to see something really nice. But I guess it was the time of year that we were there. And there was just a little bit of water. Well, I was at Yosemite at the wrong time of the year when I saw absolutely no water coming over those falls that you see on the pictures of Yosemite. They're usually full on the pictures anyway, full of water. But here I was, we were just kids at Arethusa Falls, and I remember my twin sister, she was very clever. Both my sisters are very clever and very, very smart. And everybody always wondered how I fit in there. I'm sure they did. I did myself. But anyway, I remember Grace saying, "So Dad took us on this long walk to see Arethusa trickle." anyway, when God gives a gift, it's not a trickle. It's a fountain. It's a mighty flood. He shed that Spirit. He poured it forth on us abundantly. And He does that again and again, doesn't He? When we open our hearts to Him, we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, I need You. I'm not kind in myself. I need You to come and make me kind like Jesus is." Not just a generosity, but an eternity, an eternal love, an eternal kindness. Just look at the seventh verse yet. Being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The righteousness of God's love, the graciousness of God's love. He declares that we are righteous. Yes, it says here in verse 7, we're justified by His grace. He forgives our sins through the atoning death of His Son. But then He makes us His sons and daughters, His beloved sons and daughters. He adopts us into the family, and we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's a great truth. And He also sends forth His Spirit into our hearts that we might know it and be assured of it. You read that in Galatians 4. He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Dearest Father, loving Father, we come right to Him, and we know that we are loved, and we know that we are in the family. Romans 8 also, the Spirit of adoption is sent into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so we're adopted, we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this loving kindness of God, as we already said, never, never comes to an end. He keeps acting graciously on our behalf. Even tonight, He is here. He is here loving us. We came to this meeting for Him, and He came to this meeting for us. He did. He's right here, right now, and He's here for you and for me, and I need Him. And I know that He knows that better than I do, and He's ready to pour out a blessing, the abundance of His grace upon us, and He does that again and again. His kindness is an eternal love. So let's see if I can think of those things that I said right. Well, if I look at the passage, I ought to be able to remember. It's a saving kindness and a merciful kindness and a life-changing kindness and a generous kindness and an eternal kindness. Now, God wants me to be kind. You said, be kind. That's from Ephesians 4. And how can I be kind like that? Well, I can't change anybody's life, can I? Well, in a way, not like Jesus can, but I think we can. I think we can, by our acts of kindness, do things that will make a difference in people's lives. Why, love shows kindness, I said. These are the form of the word in 1 Corinthians 13. These are verbs. Love shows kindness. And when we do that, we can do it in Jesus' name. And He will bless everything that we do for Him in His name. And so our kindness can work in a saving way. Not that we can bring anybody out of darkness into light or out of death into life, but we can serve in such a way. We can preach the gospel. We can share with others. And Jesus will draw them to Himself as Jesus is exalted. And as you look at these things about kindness, you'll see that if we are kind and we do things in Jesus' name to bless others, there can be a wonderful result. A result that goes beyond what we can know about or even see here, because seeds are planted and fruit is born. And oh God, make me kind. Make me kind as You are kind. Give me more of the Spirit of Christ. I've been challenged by that of late. You know, the saints aren't always kind. The saints are not always kind. Sometimes they think things that they shouldn't think, or say things that they, or even do things that they shouldn't do. And I don't know if you've ever found out that the saints aren't always kind, but if you know anything about yourself, why, that's clear, because you're not always kind, and I'm not always kind, and I don't always say the things I should, and I don't always think the things I should. I don't always think generously about other people. I want to. I've often spoken that way from the pulpit. Why don't we give people the benefit of the doubt, and why don't we think in generous ways? You know, I've often said that, but then I can find myself being maybe, well, a little critical at times. Maybe you can too. And you know, Jesus wants to change us. Tim Rodlico was telling me that we're having a theme at the youth retreat about something about revival. And that's a good theme, isn't it? Revival. I don't know if did he share anything about that today, or did anybody know that, or am I breaking new news to you? Okay, he was telling me that a couple weeks ago, that this was going to be a theme. But tonight, as I sat here, I thought, what about a revival of kindness? A revival of kindness. What would that do in your life? What would that do in my life? A revival of kindness. What about in our families, in our homes, right where we live, in our extended families? What would it be like? We can think of how other people should be more kind. But what about, oh Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Lord, bless my family. Come to our home, the extended family too. Bring reconciliation, bring love, bring kindness. Help me, Lord, to walk in my house with a perfect heart. What about in our churches? If all the brothers and sisters were kind to each other, hey, that'd be really nice, wouldn't it? I thank God for the way he has blessed us in our church along that line. I thank God. I'm sure it could be better. Jesus is the one who sees. I go to that church, so I know it could be better. But he sees our hearts. His eyes is a flame of fire. What would it be like if there were a revival of kindness in our churches? What about in our camp? Ooh, getting close to home, right? In our camp, yes. Well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows where it could change or it could be better. And he knows just what he wants to do for us. And I felt impressed to just say a few words about this tonight. And Lord, give us a revival of kindness. We're halfway through the season. And no one told me about anyone who was unkind. No one. I just had this on my heart today. And I just felt I should share it with all of us tonight. Lord, I want to be kind, like Jesus is kind, as I'm commanded to be kind. The offer is there with all of your commands. You offer us grace and help that we might obey them and obey them aright, Lord, fully, gladly. Of course, we like to receive kindness. And I think I've heard people say, oh, of course, everybody likes to be on the receiving end of kindness, but to do it, you know, well, there are times when it's hard to be kind. That's true. But I just like to add this side to it. It feels good to be kind. It does. There's a positive to it, too. It feels good. Say no to that unkind thought and that unkind word. Say no to it. Just put it away. Just do your best to forget. Get it, and God will help you. And then do the opposite and say, Lord, I take your grace. Fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord. Help me. I believe you're here to help me. And just let it carry over into all my life with that neighbor who gives me a problem, or with, you know, on my block, let me be known as a kind person. Show forth the kindness and the love of God, my Savior. Let it appear in me. Let your works appear, Lord. Isn't that a wonderful prayer Moses prayed in Psalm 90? Let your work appear to your servants. Yeah. Uncle Hans, some of you know who that is, right? He founded this camp. He used to tell us, I'm a very loving, I'm a very kind man. It's just that I don't show it. So, but let your works appear, Lord. Well, you're the one that can make them appear. So, oh Lord, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your everlasting kindness. Thank you that your merciful kindness doesn't end. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. You are faithful in mercy, Lord, and kindness. Oh, and we thank you for this. And we just pray that you'll bring us into line with that more and more. Don't let us forget. Check us when we go the other way, Lord, and let your Spirit help us that we, Lord, come to us, warm our hearts. It says, in tenderness he sought me. Give me a tender heart, Lord. I pray that my heart shall be tender and soft, Lord, toward you, Lord. I pray that it shall be so. And for all of us here in this place, what a wonderful thing would be a revival of kindness, the love of Jesus reigning in our hearts. So, Lord, we reach out to you tonight and thank you. Hallelujah. Refresh us even in these closing moments, I pray. Refresh your people. We've heard your word, and as we have responded to it, we believe that you have a blessing for us, some help for us. And so, Lord, we reach out to you even now and pray that you will meet every need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe that you will help us. Help us, each one, Lord. And maybe there are hard places, as I said before. Maybe there's someone here tonight who has someone in their life that it's really difficult to get along with. Maybe someone in the family who just, you know that sometimes, those are sometimes among the hardest things. Lord, I want to pray. I want to commit these situations to you, Lord. I want to pray that you will help us where people seem to rub us the wrong way. Maybe it's just something that we've allowed to grow in our own minds, Lord, and it's from our perspective. Lord, set us free. Help us, Lord. Do something fresh for us and blessed for us, dear Lord, that we might love as you loved and be kind as you are kind. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, that you are able tonight. And so we appeal to you, your Holy Spirit's working in us. As we bring this time together to a close, we believe that you have brought these thoughts before us tonight. And I pray that you will accomplish your will among us right along this line. Let this be a wonderful time of love and kindness and unity. As we read in your word there, the Lord commands the blessing. I pray that this third period shall be rich with the blessing of God, a heaven-sent and heaven-commanded blessing, the manifestation of the life of Jesus in the midst here at Pilgrim Camp. Hallelujah. I pray for your great name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. I pray. Sing the first verse of that song and then the fourth, which we just sang again. If you need the words, I believe it's number 216, but let's pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, Lord. We can come to him. We're reaching out to him. If we need to ask him for forgiveness, let's do that. He's ready to forgive. He will forgive. He will cleanse. He will bring us just the blessing that we need, just the revival that we need. Let's sing together. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Okay, let's stand and sing that fourth verse again. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares, thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now,